I'd like to chant it one more time. Aniha etad bahudaika atmana srijat yati nabhadyate yata vamarahi bhumir bahunama rupani aho vibhumnas charitang vidambanam. Synonyms. Aniha, exerting no endeavor. Etat, this universe. Bahuda, manifold. Eka, alone. Atmana, by himself. Sujati, he creates. Avati, maintains. Ati, annihilates. Na bhadyate, is not bound up. Yata, as. Bhaumai, by the transformations of earth. He, indeed, bhumi, earth. Bahu, many. Nama rupani, having names and forms. Aho, ah. Vibhumna, of the Almighty Lord. Charitam, the activities. Vidambanam, a pretense. Translation, please repeat. Indeed, the human-like pastimes of the Almighty are simply a pretense. Effortlessly, he alone sends forth from his self this variegated creation, maintains it, and then swallows it up again. All without becoming entangled. Just as the element earth takes on many names and forms in its various transformations. I'll read the translation in its entirety. Indeed, the human-like pastimes of the Almighty are simply a pretense. Effortlessly, he alone sends forth from his self this variegated creation, maintains it, and then swallows it up again, all without becoming entangled. Just as the element earth takes on many names and forms in its various transformations. Purport. The One Supreme expands himself as many without diminishing his completeness. He does this effortlessly without depending on anyone or anything else. This mystic process of the Lord's self-expansion is incomprehensible to all but himself. But the example of the substance earth and its manifold products bears enough resemblance to provide some idea. The same example is also presented in an often cited passage of the Chandogya Upanishad. Vacharabhanam vikaro namadeyam mritiket yeva satyam. Earth's transformations are merely verbal creations of the process of naming the substance earth itself is alone real. Srila Sridhar Swami suggests that this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam answers a possible objection on the part of Lord Krishna. Quote, how can I create, maintain, and destroy the universe if I am Vasudev's son? The answer is given by the words, Aho vibhumnas charitang vidambanam. You are the perfectly complete whole, and your birth and pastimes are only an imitation of ordinary person's activities in the material world. You simply pretend to be under higher control. Trinadapi sunichena, taradiva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, girtaniya sadahari. Harinama, harinama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have this word, Vibhumna, the Almighty Lord. That is how we understand God. Without this concept of inconceivable energy, then we will be faulty in our understanding of God. By definition, God has to have inconceivable potencies. He has to be almighty. There can be no competitor. There can be no second. He has to be one without a second. That's why we cannot accept the concept of multi-gods. There can be multi-demigods, but by definition, God must be the supreme, the one. So, Vibhumna, the Almighty Lord. Charitam vidammanam. The activities are a pretense. Because in the material world, all of us are working and acting because of some intention. We are working by the force of desires. We are working under the impulse of the modes of nature, either goodness, passion, and ignorance. But the Lord, although appearing to behave like an ordinary human being, and that was also, right, pretense, it looks as though Krishna is performing activities like a human being, such as taking care of the cows and the calves. He looks as if anybody else. He gets married. He has children. He performs so many activities that someone would say, what makes him special? What makes him God? He's doing same things as human beings does. But that is only, as it says here, a pretense. Because at the same time, in these supposed imitations of human-like activities, the opportunity presents itself where he does superhuman, incomprehensible activities, such as lifting Govardhan Hill at the age of 7, such as killing one demon after another, even though as a small baby, as a small child, expanding himself as 16,108 Krishnas. And those 16,108 Krishnas, when Narada visited, each one of those expansions was doing something different. The yogi's expansion, 8 or 9 is the maximum, they are all doing the same thing. But Narada experienced in Dwaraka how each house Krishna was doing something completely different. The sages here are pointing out what is God's function. What does it say here? Srijati, he creates. Avati, maintains. Ati, annihilates. This is referring to Krishna's other expansions, in particular the guna avatars. The guna avatars are empowered incarnations of Krishna. But the actual potency is coming from Krishna. He's doing it, but he's empowering others to do the actual work. So the creation being done by Lord Brahma, the annihilation being done by Lord Shiva, and the Lord himself as Shirodakashayi Vishnu does the maintenance. Maintenance is the most difficult of all the three. To create is easy. To destroy, even easier. But to maintain something, that requires more hard labor. For instance, you can create a child very easily. Very, very easily you can create one child. You can destroy something. There are so many pictures when they want to dismantle a building. They get the big crane and the big ball. Or when the airplane struck the Twin Towers, those Twin Towers took many, many months to build. But it was only a matter of minutes before the whole thing was dismantled. So destruction, easy. But to maintain something, that requires a lot of endeavor. In particular, if you want to maintain this temple, all of you are working very hard to maintain this temple. And you're working from before sunrise till after sunset. And what all you are doing? Simply maintaining this temple. That makes you glorious. And that requires lots of endeavor, lots of hard work, sacrifice, penance. But that makes you glorious. To maintain this temple is the most glorious activity. Therefore, I take the dust of your feet on my head, because you're doing what I can't do. You are doing a great activity maintaining this temple. Therefore, please take pride in that. Don't think anything less. You are glorious for maintaining this temple. Prabhupada had a disciple, Atreya Rishi, and he was preaching in Tehran, Iran in 1976. So it was just Atreya Rishi and his family and a few other devotees, one sannyasi. And they were preaching to the Shah of Iran. But how were they preaching? Very, very covertly. They were teaching, I don't know if it was the Shah or his family, yoga. And while teaching yoga, little by little, they were introducing Krishna consciousness to the Shah of Iran before there was the coup d'etat. So after 1 year, Prabhupada came to visit them. And Atreya Rishi went before Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, we've been here 1 year. We don't have anything to show. We're not distributing any books. We haven't made any devotees. I have nothing to report." Because when Prabhupada would visit the temples, the temple president and the leaders would show Prabhupada, "We have made this many devotees. We have distributed this many books. We have done these kinds of festivals." They would give Prabhupada a report, because Prabhupada was interested in practical results. Prabhupada was not a sentimentalist. Prabhupada wanted to see practical results of preaching. So Atreya Rishi said, "Prabhupada, we have nothing to show." Prabhupada said, "No. The mere fact that you stayed for the year and didn't give up, you have satisfied me. Because you stayed. So, you here in this temple, you are the backbone of this temple. Every temple has a few devotees that without them, no temple. Every temple has just a few devotees, and they're the ones that maintain it and keep it going. They are the most glorious because they are doing the greatest sacrifice. And you will be blessed by Prabhupada and by Lord Chaitanya and by Krishna for your selfless service, because maintenance is very difficult. How many children you had? Two. So you know what it's like to maintain a family. Anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. To create the child, oh, so nice. But once that child, well, even before, even during the pregnancy, you're in anxiety. Something could go wrong. At the time of birth, you're in a lot of anxiety, nervous. Then it only gets worse. The anxiety, are you thinking of having children? No? You don't want children? No? All right. Well, you saved yourself some anxiety. But when you have anxiety to serve Krishna, that's transcendental. To be a temple manager is a thankless task. Nobody thanks you, right? Who do we thank? The sponsors, the preachers. They get all the glory. Hari Bol, right? But those who are doing all the hard work, all they get is criticism. Why you haven't done like this? Prabhu, you should do like this. And everyone is very eager to tell you how you should do your service. Right? There's no scarcity of people telling you what you should be doing. They won't do it, but they're very eager to tell you how you should be doing service. So, to maintain a temple is a thankless task. But you should know, Krishna is seeing. Lord Chaitanya is seeing. Prabhupada is seeing, and you're being blessed. And just like the example, when Krishna returned to the gopis the night of the rasa dance, he left, right? He left with Radharani. He even left Radharani. And he was watching to see how dedicated and determined. He made himself invisible, but he was seeing everything that they were doing. So, when Krishna returned, and there was that conversation, the gopis asked him some questions. And then in response, Krishna said, "There's no way I can repay my debt to you. Even within a lifetime of Lord Brahma, for your selfless service." Now, we read in the Bhagavad Gita, and we read it last night, Bhagavad Gita 4:11, where nobody knew the verse number except me. Ye yata mang prapadyante, tang stataiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashaha. But that verse of Bhagavad Gita is not true for the gopis. As Krishna himself admits, I cannot repay you for your spotless service. According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, as you surrender, I reward you accordingly. But by Krishna's own mouth, he says, but you gopis, I can't. You'll just have to be satisfied with your own selfless service. Just like, I'm sure you had, for so many years you had a job, right? You were working for somebody. So every week or every 2 weeks you got a paycheck. But would you have stayed if the boss said, my dear Mr. Such and Such, thank you for your selfless service. I cannot repay you. Would you have stayed in that job? No. If you were to spit on him, he said, go to hell. But the gopis, Krishna says, I cannot repay you even within a lifetime of Brahma. That is what makes the gopis' love so exalted, that even Krishna cannot repay them for their devotional service. That's why Lord Chaitanya praises, extols the devotional service of the gopis of Vrindavan. The human-like pastimes of the Almighty are simply a pretense. Here's a word, aniha, exerting no endeavor. Prabhupada mentions this. It's not that when Krishna is fighting a demon that he's struggling. No, when Krishna is killing a demon, it's nonchalantly, no effort. One of my favorite items, when Krishna fought Jarasandha, not one time, 17 times, he easily defeated all of Jarasandha's army and left Jarasandha wagging his tail back home. You would think, after 17 times getting defeated in the same way, you'd learn something, not Jarasandha. He had to go for 18 times. It just boggles me how someone could be so stubborn. 17 times. Jarasandha was so mad at Krishna because after Krishna killed Kamsa, Kamsa's two wives were Jarasandha's daughters, Asti and Prapti. And it appears Kamsa had no sons. So the daughters had no choice but to return home to daddy. And any father who's given a daughter away in marriage, that's the last thing you want to see, that your daughter comes back home. You don't want to see that. So Jarasandha was very upset and angry with Krishna and the Aru dynasty. That was the particular reason why he went after Krishna 17 times. And then the 18th time, he had to take the help of Kalyavana, where Krishna displayed his wonderful pastime. Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Sri Sri Nath Ji Ki Jai, Sri Prahlad Nisringa Ki Jai. Those of you Gujarati, you know Krishna the Ranachor. Right? Prabhupada says there's many temples of Ranachor in Gujarat. That's also Vidambanam, a pretense. That's another example of this word in today's verse. Charitam Vidambanam, pretense activities. Jarasandha thought, I have finally killed him. Because Jarasandha set fires all over the mountain. Krishna and Balaram were at the top of the mountain, some more than 80 miles, and they jumped down. And Jarasandha said, I have defeated them, finally. They didn't defeat. Krishna left the battlefield, Ranachor. Why? He wasn't afraid of Jarasandha. He'd already defeated him 17 times. All of a sudden now, Krishna is going to be afraid of measly Jarasandha. Krishna could have killed Jarasandha 17 times. Why didn't Krishna kill him? Because Krishna is smart. Krishna's purpose, Parichanaya Sarunam, Vinashaya Chaduskritam. Krishna's purpose was, I'm here to kill the demons. So Krishna knew, if I let Jarasandha live, he'll get another army of demons, I'll kill them. This is Krishna smart. Just like, if you can do all of your shopping in one store, Why do you have to go to 15 different stores? You find one store where you get all your shopping done. You do your business quickly, efficiently. So that was Krishna's purpose. So on the 18th time, when Krishna Ranachor, it wasn't that Krishna was afraid of Jarasandha. Krishna had better things to do, namely, marry Rukmini. That was why he ran Jor. Krishna couldn't be bothered. Nonsense. I know Rukmini is going to be wanting me soon. I want Rukmini as my first queen. So many of these activities of the Almighty. In another place, Kunti uses this word vidambanam, bewildering. Because people misunderstand Krishna's activities. We were speaking about this previously. They accuse Krishna of so many things. Accuse him of being lusty. Accuse him of being a thief. Now, this is a pretense. This is a show. This is a dramatic performance. And Krishna is always pure in the previous verse. If I had spoken on the previous verse, the concept was there. That Krishna is always pure. According to the Ishopanishad, antiseptic and prophylactic. Whatever Krishna does, nothing can contaminate him. Prophylactic. He always remains uncontaminated. And antiseptic means any impure thing that comes in contact with Krishna becomes purified. The example, Kubja. Kubja came with lusty desire. After Krishna straightened her out, first she did service. First she offered the sandalwood. So she did service. Then Krishna reciprocated by pulling on her cheek, stepping on her toe, and giving her a jerk to straighten her out because she was a hunchback woman. Now, after this, Kubja said, "Oh, you cannot leave me. I want to satisfy you as only a woman can satisfy a man." And Krishna said, "No, not now. I have some work to do. Later I'll come." And it's interesting. When Krishna went to see Kubja, he came with Uddhava. I find that very interesting. I don't know why, but he went with Uddhava. And Kubja had all lusty desire in her heart to enjoy Krishna. But Krishna satisfied her and at the same time purified her. Krishna did not become contaminated by Kubja. He placed his feet on her chest and the burning, lusty desire in her heart was taken away. So whatever Krishna does, he's uncontaminated. Even he does supposed irreligious activities. The first demon to be killed was a woman. According to Vedas, you never kill a woman. Ram and Lakshman didn't kill Sharpana. They disfigured her, correct? They didn't kill Sharpana, right? They disfigured her. But Krishna killed Putana. So someone may say, "Oh, your Krishna is immoral. He has killed a woman." Krishna also killed the bull. Did he not? Arishtasura. That's also sinful. But the problem is, even Krishna does something sinful, no contamination occurs. No karma occurs. Because he is the supreme personality of Godhead. And for me, the most bewildering Leela of Krishna, when Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. To me, this is the most bewildering pastime. I never lecture on that chapter. Never. Because it is too bewildering to me. But it's there. Krishna treated the gopis just like dolls. Krishna took full advantage of the gopis, but no sinful reaction can stick to Krishna. He can do anything. That's why he is the supreme. And that's why it says in the Bhagavad Gita, no truth superior to me. Matak paracharam nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. Mayi savam idam protam sutre manigina iva. Everything rests on Krishna as pearls are strung on a thread. But this point that there's no one equal to or superior to Krishna, asamordva. One of the things you learn in the very first verse of Bhagavatam, if you read the purport. If you read the purport, you'll understand. Asamordva. No one is equal to Godhead. No one is greater than Godhead. There's no competition. There's no applications being accepted. Oh, now it's my turn to be God. That applies to Indra. Indra's position, others are waiting in line. Brahma also. All the demigod positions, you can become. But nobody can become God. The Mayavad theory that you're God, you just forgotten about it. Now you practice meditation, read the Vedanta Sutra, you'll realize that you're God. That's all. So, Prabhupada's point is, if that's true, then there must be some difference between this kind of God and Krishna. Because Krishna never forgets that he's God. He always knows he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satchit Ananda. Chit means he never is under the illusion of who he is. And even if he does, he's doing that willfully. If he allows himself to be manhandled by Yashoda, he's doing that consciously. Yes, Krishna sometimes forgets himself, but that forgetting himself is done consciously, not like us. Because at any moment, Krishna can snap out of it. We can't. We can't just snap out of our lila. In order for us to snap out of it, we have to do lifetimes of penances and austerities. Krishna can quickly come in and out. That's God. Nothing is impossible. Prabhupada was once asked, so, can Krishna create a mountain so heavy he can't lift it? The devil's question in class. So Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna can make a mountain so heavy that he can't lift it. But then after that, the next moment he expands, he lifts it. That's Krishna. That's God. The impossible, the inconceivable is possible. So, in the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj, Ekala Ishwar Krishna Arsava Britya. Krishna is the only enjoyer. Everyone else is servant. Beginning with Balaram, Krishna's first expansion. Even Srimati Radharani considers herself Krishna's maidservant. When Draupadi was asking the queens of Dwaraka, how did you get to be Krishna's wife? You already studied that chapter. It was a chapter or two ago. I think it was the previous chapter. Each of the queens said, yes, I may be Krishna's wife, but actually, I'm Krishna's maidservant. Radharani in Shikshastakam prayers, the final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Radharani is explaining the eighth Shikshastakam prayer. She says, I consider myself Krishna's maidservant. This is spiritual consciousness. As Lord Chaitanya teaches us, dasa dasa anudas. And you devotees here in this temple, you have taught me this. Because you all have this mood of service. I am very grateful to all of you for teaching me what is Krishna consciousness. I am very grateful that every day you chant that verse, that Chaitanya Charitamrita verse about the 10 offenses. Yes. Because we used to do that in New York Temple. And that was the only, after that, no other temple that I went to does that. When I came here, I immediately, we used to do that in 55th Street. I really like that. And it's very good that you recite Shikshastakam every day. Very few temples do that. That is a very powerful program. Because Krishnadas Kaviraj says that if you chant these Shikshastakam prayers every day, your love of Krishna will grow and grow and grow. And that's what we're here for. We're here to have our creeper of devotion for Krishna grow. So this is a glorious temple. You are great, exalted devotees. I take the dust of your lotus feet on my head. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyayevacha patitanang bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. What questions or comments? Yes, please add. Oh, they did kill. Okay. Nah. Okay. Yes, that was on the order of Vishwamitra. And didn't they not want to do it? They hesitated, right? But Vishwamitra said no. What did Vishwamitra say?
He said you should not hesitate now because the night time is coming up and they become so powerful that they will move God about. So they do it now in the evening before they get paid in their power. Do it without waiting. Don't play around with them.
Very good. I'm glad you brought that up. Very good. What else can you add to this nectarian? Jai. Ah, both. Ah. Haribol. What you can add or ask? Anything? You know, Lord Chaitanya, when he was under Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have taken sannyas in a lower Shankara Sampradaya. I want to reinitiate you into a higher order. And you're so young and handsome, you may not be able to keep your sannyas. So I'm going to instruct you on Vedanta philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya, being obedient and submissive, allowed Sarvabhauma to instruct him. So for 7 days, Sarvabhauma instructed Lord Chaitanya in Vedanta, but he said nothing. After 7 days, Sarvabhauma was a little agitated. Here I am speaking to you this Vedanta Sutra, but I don't know if you understand or you like or you don't like. Usually a student will question or indicate something, but you don't say nothing. And Lord Chaitanya then, I like this about Lord Chaitanya. He also, don't ask, don't tell. But once Sarvabhauma opened the door, then Lord Chaitanya said, well, since you're asking, I may tell you that I very much can understand Vedanta Sutra. It is as clear as the sun. But your explanations, they're like clouds covering the sun. And Sarvabhauma said, what you are saying? So if you're so smart, explain Vedanta Sutra. Ah, and Lord Chaitanya came and started to explain Vedanta Sutra according to Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. And Savaboma tried to argue, but Lord Chaitanya, like they have those games where you have a gun and you shoot. Whenever argument, Savaboma came, Chaitanya shot it down, one after the other, till Savaboma was completely vidambanam, bewildered, like that. So, you don't say nothing. So I don't know if you like what I'm saying, you don't like what I'm saying. Well, you have to say something. What do you got for me today?
All right, I have a comment and a question.
Good boy.
Comment is, I was thinking in another analogy that you can use when you refer to that pastime of Krishna, Jarasandha, that you say, you know, why would you go to a different store when you go to just one store? But I was thinking, why go to the store at all if you can get delivered?
Oh, very good. Jai.
The question is about Krishna saying that he cannot pay to the devotees.
No, the gopis. Only the gopis. We should take what Krishna says as it is. If he says he cannot repay, then he cannot repay. I take it at face value. Because the gopis' love of Krishna overlaps. The gopis don't care for reciprocation. That's how great it is. They don't care. The favorite example. Here's another example. Narada Muni was sent to some Brahmins that tell the Brahmins, I have a headache. And the only thing that will cure my headache is the dust of their feet. So Narada went to the Brahmins. And the Brahmin said, get out of here, Narada. You must be testing us. Because if we give the dust of our feet to Krishna, we will go to hell. You must be bogus. Go away. Then Krishna went to the gopis. Krishna has a headache. What? Krishna has a headache? What should we do? Narada said, Krishna says the only thing that will relieve his headache is the dust from your feet. What did the gopi say? Take as much dust. Take. And Narada said, don't you know you're going to go to hell? We don't care. We only care that Krishna's headache is removed. If we have to go to hell, we'll do it. That's called pure love. They're not interested in reciprocation. And if you look, when did Krishna say this? The night of the Rasa dance. He was there. He returned. That's all the gopis want. But Krishna is admitting that their love for him is so great, it overwhelms him. It overwhelms him. He cannot believe how they can love him to such an extent. That no matter what he does to them. Same thing, eight Shikshastakam. This is what's so great about Shikshastakam. If you learn Shikshastakam, you can preach and answer any question. Everything is there in Shikshastakam. You should learn every Sanskrit word and understand it so that you can, just Shikshastakam, you can preach. Perfect. Everything is there in Shikshastakam. Eight Shikshastakam. My Lord, you make me brokenhearted, you're still my Lord. My Lord, you embrace me, you're still my Lord. Unconditional. That is love. Unconditional. No conditions. In the material world, you cannot find that. Any marriage, any business transaction, any relationship, there are conditions. Especially with these high-profile VIP weddings. They have prenuptial agreement. So many conditions. You do this, you don't get this. You do this, you can't. Before the marriage, that's not love. That's why Prabhupada said, love, there is no love in this material world. It's all lust. Love means Radha and Krishna. That's love. Sita Ram. That's love. Sita Ram. All week we've been talking about Sita Ram. Ravan tried so many things to tempt Sita. No can do. Nothing can separate Ram from Sita. Their love cannot break. Prabhupada said in the material world, love breaks easily. There's so many examples. The young man, he's married, he goes off to war for so many years, he comes home, the wife has already had 4 or 5 affairs. There's no love in this material world. It's all business, business transaction. Love means Radha and Krishna, Sita Ram, like that. Lakshmi Narayan. That's love. No break. Nothing can break. Okay? More questions. More comments. Churn. Go. Because when you're in the spiritual world, you don't just have a relationship with Krishna. You have a relationship with Krishna and all the other living entities in the spiritual world. It's not that it's just going to be you and Krishna in your own separate world. Yashoda's going to be there. Nanda's going to be there. The cowherd boys. It's all there. You're going to have relationship with everyone. When Krishna and Radha, every day, when Krishna is out in the pasturing fields, the cowherd girls and the cowherd boys are working together so that Radha and Krishna can meet secretly throughout the day. And there's so many little exchanges. The cowherd boys and the cowherd girls, they're doing so many things. Okay, make sure Krishna's there at the right time. Make sure Radharani's there. There's all this plotting and scheming throughout the day. So everybody's working together. You follow. Now as far as the spiritual master's function is to guide you. Here's the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the mediator. Here is Bhakta Max. Bhakta Max, you follow me. Here is Krishna. When it says that he is my Lord birthed after birth, means this, that no matter what, if the spiritual master requires something from you, you will do it. Prahlad Maharaj, when praying to Lord Nrisingadev, gives this concept that my first duty is to serve Narada Muni, my spiritual master. The devotee is always placing himself as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So Srila Prabhupada is there in Goloka Vrindavan serving Krishna. We will be with him and he'll be helping us to serve Radha and Krishna. What do you say to that? No, you're in this movement, You're destined for Goloka Vrindavan. Stay with this movement, you will go to Goloka Vrindavan. Go ahead. But wait, he finally had a question. Go. What? Speak slowly. They're two different? Yes. How what? Yes, they all went with Ram to his planet. Yes. In Dwarka. Yes. But they also went back to Godhead. Yes. The residents of Vrindavan went back. And the residents of Dwarka went back. Yes. Oh, so why that Leela like that? Why does Krishna do anything? He wants to know why was it that the Yadu dynasty killed each other? Well, exactly why, that's not revealed to us. Exactly why did he do it that way? But there is that, there's two things that is mentioned. So I don't speculate. I never speculate. I never give you my opinion. I'll tell you what I've read. That after the battle of Kurukshetra, it would appear that all the demons were taken care of. And even when Krishna went back to Dwarka, Brahma came to Dwarka and situated himself in the sky and said to Krishna, "You have been on earth for 125 autumns. You did exactly as we asked," because you know in the beginning, Brahma and Mother Earth went to Shiradakshai Vishnu, and the Lord said, "Yes, I'll come and take care of all the demons." So as far as Brahma was concerned, the contract was fulfilled. So Brahma said, "You've been on earth for 125 autumns. Now you can go back." But Krishna was thinking, not yet. Maybe all the demons are killed, but they're still my family. And if I leave, they'll become another burden for the earth. They're so powerful. And without my presence here, they may get unrestricted. They may become a disturbance. So they have to be taken care of. Then I can go back. So Krishna didn't want to leave his family because he was worried that they would create another disturbance. You follow? Now, why that way? They're kshatriyas. And Krishna also wanted to show what is the ill effect of intoxication. They all became intoxicated on rice wine. So, this is a lesson. Don't drink alcohol. It could kill your family. And I've spoken to policemen over the years, and it's admitted many, 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 if not most, murders are committed under intoxication amongst family members. And a lot of times, full moon. You know, there are these places called asylums for people with mental disorder. So I've found out that when the moon is full, everyone goes a little, yes. So Krishna design, the whole thing is designed by Krishna. Chess game. Now, why? That's not revealed to us why. I've told you as far as I can explain. I don't like to speculate. What good is speculation? When I worked in the Karmi world, my Jewish boss said, never assume. Assume means you make a ass out of me. Assume me. Ask you me. You make an ass out of me if I assume. You've heard that before? Yes. You had one more question. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So the spiritual world, the spiritual master is still going to be your spiritual master, but in a different,
I asked this question. I asked this question once. Whether he'll be, no, he's not going to be in this form, but you'll know who Prabhupada is and his real Goloka identity. Yes, you will know. You like that? Pretty good, huh? Yes. And if Prabhupada says to me at the time of death, if Krishna and Prabhupada say, no, you are not fit to go back to Godhead. We want you to take birth in Saudi Arabia and preach to all the Muslims. I have to say yes. I have to be surrendered. So I don't think I'm going back to Godhead. I think Krishna wants me to stay life after life and do my preaching. I'm happy. I'll accept that. So long as I get my gizmos and gadgets. Anything else? You want to add anything? Thank you for asking. I feel better now. Anything else? This class is dismissed. All glories to ISKCON, to Wako, Kijai.